like the post-lunch slump. I had the most amazing lunch. We went to Naked Lunch, which is this cool place on Smith Down, and I ate the biggest roast. So bear with me if I'm a bit tired. I think the food is like, yeah, got to me a bit. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is T, and I work for a charity called Just Love. I really enjoy it. I get to encourage students to do social justice, and yeah, I really love people as well, so building relationships is great. But before we start, I think I'm just going to quickly pray, and then we'll crack on. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what we can learn about you and your heart for justice, Lord. We thank you so much that you are the ultimate King. And I pray that our hearts would be opened, to listen and to respond to what you have to say to us. Amen. You can almost imagine it, can't you? A sea of people gathering around the hillsides of Jerusalem. Horns blaring, crowds shouting, dancers somersaulting. Hope fills the air. Then suddenly the crowd gasps. Silence. The high priest slowly reaches for his horn and pours sacred oil over the young king's head. The sound of the trumpet pierces the air and the crowd shrieks, "Long live King Solomon." Psalm 72 is a prayer which would have been used on the day of the new king's coronation. It was originally written by David at the end of his life for his son and successor, Solomon. It's essentially a job description for the new king. It highlights the qualifications that Solomon would have needed to lead God's people perfectly. As we read it, we get this amazing picture of a king who is kind, merciful, just, and righteous. And he's depicted as God's agent in the kingdom. In Israel's history, the king would have represented God's ruling presence among the people. And so his job was to reflect God's qualities and his character. It's important to note, though, that while this psalm does point to Solomon, it also points to someone greater than that. There's a messianic sense to this psalm, and there are definitely some passages which could only refer to the coming kingdom of Christ. So as I was reading through this psalm, I was like, God, there's so much that this talks about. I've only got 20 minutes. I don't want to bore these guys with loads of details. What do you want me to chat about? And as I was reading through, I felt like God was saying, justice is key. And I was like, oh, God, you know, I love a bit of justice. Thanks. And that is what we're going to focus on today. We're going to look at justice. So let's dive in together. Also, I should have a PowerPoint up by now. Yeah, great. Brilliant. So the very first thing I noticed when reading this psalm was that David's prayer encourages us to pray that our world leaders would do justice. I'll say that again. David's prayer encourages us to pray for our world leaders to do justice. Verse 1 says, "Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice." The very first thing that David prays to God for this new king is that he would lead with God's justice. Not that he'll have a massive military or sort out Brexit negotiations. No, he says, give the king your justice. Verse 15, may people pray for him and bless him all day long. That is crazy. The people were praying for their king all day long. They have a responsibility to lift their king up frequently for him to do justice. And so the question I have for you guys here today is, do you guys lift up your world leaders in prayer for them to do justice? There are 320,000 homeless people in the UK and 14 million who live in poverty. Do we make it a priority to pray that Theresa May's heart would be softened for these people? If I'm honest with you guys, I definitely complain about Theresa May more than I pray for her. And so I want to make it our challenge to pray for her, and we're going to do that right now. So if you click the next slide. Right, this is verse 1, but I've made it like a Theresa May edition. So, amen. So after 3, we're going to say this all together, okay? We're going to pray that Theresa May does justice. Right, 3, 2, 1. Give Theresa May your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the Prime Minister. Mayest you judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Amazing. And let's be making a habit of that, guys. Like, I know that Brexit seems dark and dreary, and that's all we want to think about. I know that every time we go on the BBC News, we see another crazy thing happening. But this psalm tells us that it's important that our leaders are doing justice, and we need to pray for them. Okay, great. So that's the first thing. Right. My second point is that the church should be growing justice-seeking leaders. And I'll explain why. So from the passage, it seems like there is a direct correlation between the success of the king and the extent to which he does justice. So back in the day, guys, when you did science, GCSE or whatever, you know those positive correlation graphs? Yeah, just imagine like success on the x-axis and then justice on the y-axis. It goes like that. it's like, yes. Verses 11 to 12 say, "May all the kings fall down before him. All nations give him service, for he delivers the needy when they call, the poor, and those who have no helper." That three-letter word, "for," is so crucial in that sentence. It's basically saying that the king has earned the respect of the nations and the leaders because, as a result of, due to doing justice. Isn't that mad? These kings aren't bowing down to him because he's strong, or because he's mighty, or scary, or a dictator. No, it's because he cares for the most vulnerable in the kingdom. In this kingdom, it's not power that is mighty. It's justice. And we can see similar vibes in Proverbs 29, verse 14, which says, "A king who judges the poor with fairness, his throne will be established forever." Again, when the king cares for the most vulnerable in his kingdom, God blesses his reign. And God's blessing can also be seen by the depiction of nature in this passage. So we get this amazing picture of nature's productivity in this, resulting from the king's pursuit of justice. So verse 16, "May grain abound through the land, on the tops of the hills will it sway." And some translations actually change the word hills to mountains. But can you imagine that, guys? What grows on the top of a hill? It's like the most barren land. And God's saying here, if the king does justice, there'll be crops that are just produced at an amazing rate. That is just insane. When the king does justice, there is prosperity in the land. So what I did was I typed in on Google, world famous leaders, and these three popped up. Can anyone tell me who they are? Just feel free to shout out. Right, Jude, that's not Jude. Martin Luther King, yeah. Anything? Nelson Mandela, Gandhi, perfect. And what I want you to do is turn to the person next to you and just discuss why it is that these leaders are so famous today. What is it about their leadership that makes them stand out? Go. Okay, cool. Can we draw these combos to close? So what did you guys discuss in your pairs? What were your ideas? I might have to pick on people if you're not being vocal. All right, John, go for it.
we said a couple of things last time. That the way they responded to like hatred and like backlash was like peaceful and loving.
Yeah, amazing. Anyone else?
They stuck to their guns.
Yeah, they knew what they was right. Yeah. They fought for the oppressed. Nice. Anyone else? Yeah, definitely. So we all know that Gandhi was an Indian activist, Mandela, anti-apartheid revolutionary, and Martin Luther King, civil rights activist. So these leaders were phenomenal because they were seeking the interests of the most vulnerable in society, and they brought prosperity and flourishing to those who did not have it before. And we just have to look around us at the world today to see how selfish and corrupt leaders have violated human rights and contributed to the poverty of communities. I can think of so many leaders who've done this, like Gaddafi, Stalin, Hitler. The list honestly just goes on. But this psalm brings so much hope to those who have suffered from awful leadership. And I believe that the church should be looking to grow godly and justice-seeking leaders, people like Martin Luther King, who will stand up to champion the rights of the poor and the oppressed, who will make a difference in politics, who will bring about prosperity and flourishing in the lives of those who are struggling. And so the charity I work for, Just Love, we totally believe that. And some of our alumni are actually working as parliamentary assistants at the moment. One of them is actually working on Brexit negotiations, which is crazy. But how amazing is it to think that these God-seeking justice leaders are in politics right now, changing the nation? Yeah, changing the nation. And this is what the church should be seeking to do. We need to be growing up more like them. Great, so that's my second point. My third point is that I think Psalm 72 is great for showing that kings do justice and leaders should do justice, but I also think that it's a template for us too. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says that we are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood. We are image bearers of the ultimate king, royal ambassadors of Christ and his kingdom. And so if justice and righteousness are the foundations of his throne, then they should also be the foundations of our throne. Each day is a coronation where we can step into the chosen identity we have of Christ, and we should care about justice. And so for some of you, you may feel like you've been walking this justice journey a long time. You've got the 92 degrees keep cup, you give money to charity, you always come to Just Love events, you might feel like you've nailed it. And then there might be others of you who've never really thought about justice before, or maybe the idea that justice is important is new to you today. But what I want you to think about is, what is your next step? What is God calling you to do? Wherever you are on that spectrum. For me, I know that my next step is definitely to sort out my food waste. Like, if you ask any of my housemates, they're always like moldy bananas just chilling on the side, or like you open the fridge and there's this like disgusting waft of like old food, and they know it's me. They always like screenshot pictures and put on the group chat. It's so embarrassing. but I know for me that is my next step. And so what I want you guys to do is maybe just take a few minutes to reflect and just to ponder with God about where he wants you to go next. Or just follow his nudge about, the aspects of your life that you want to change and do more justice in. So yeah, we'll have a few minutes to do that. If you want to just pray. Okay, great. So, yeah, if you want to take some more time, maybe later on today, to figure out what your next steps are going to be, definitely would encourage you to do that. But while it's important to figure out what our personal justice journeys look like, I also definitely believe in collective action. So if you'll look under your seat, you'll find one of these petition cards. And this is basically a tier fund campaign to the World Bank to get them to invest in more sustainable, renewable energy resources rather than investing in fossil fuels. It's really easy to sign. You literally just need to put your signature and full name there, and then, yeah, your address. And then at the end, I'll come and collect them. So, yeah, you'll have maybe like a minute to sign if you want to, and then we'll come back together again. Also, Tier Fund asked me to take a picture of you guys signing it, so don't think I'm being creepy, but I'm just going to get a little a little shot from the side. Great. Okay, so I think most people have finished now. If you just leave them on your seats and then I'll come and collect them at the end of the service. But to just summarise what I've said so far, I said that we should feel encouraged to pray for our world leaders to do justice, make sure we're lifting up Theresa May in prayer. We should be growing justice-seeking leaders, the Martin Luther Kings, you know, the Gandhis of our society. And as royal ambassadors, we should also seek to do justice as well. But one thing I also want to note is the fact that we should be so excited about the fact that one day the prophecies that the psalm talks about will actually come true. So a bit of a spoiler for you guys, if you just turn the page to like Psalm 73, you'll actually see that Solomon's reign wasn't characterized by justice or righteousness. But Palm Sunday actually reminds us that we're celebrating the ultimate king who will one day bring God's perfect justice. So we worship a brown Middle Eastern refugee who entered into Jerusalem on a small donkey, whose heart is always for the broken and needy, who judges the poor with righteousness. Let's celebrate and be expectant of a perfect coming kingdom of justice and righteousness. Could I invite the band up? That'd be awesome. So you'll have a few minutes now to just reflect on what you've just heard as the band play through the first song. I really do want you to consider this idea of justice, though, and how we are royal ambassadors of it. And also, maybe if you want to spend some time lifting up some more world leaders, that would also be really great. But I know in myself that I've been on a massive justice walk, and God has really started to convict me in areas of my life that I need to change. And I really want to see St. James do the same. I really feel like we can be a beacon of hope in this world, and that God calls us to do this. So, yeah, if you want to just spend a few minutes in prayer as the band play the first song, that would be great.